Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 12th of November, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday, everyone.
Yes, and we're mixing it up a little bit today. It is Security Friday, but also with me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Not bad. I've been better, but I've certainly been worse. How are you?
Hey, thank God and all that's holy, it's Friday.
Yes, I hear that 100%. So, as I said, it is in fact Security Friday, and one of the things we like to do on Security Friday, well, we don't like to do it, but one of the things that has accidentally become a tradition is This Week in Data Breaches. Take it away, Andrew.
All right, here we go. So this one is from Robinhood. They are a platform. I think they let you trade, buy and sell stocks.
Yes.
So they said on November 3rd, they had a data breach. They call it a data security incident. They say someone socially engineered one of their customer support agents by phone and was able to obtain access to certain customer support systems. Now, right off the bat, they say the attack has already been contained. They don't believe that any social security numbers, bank account numbers, or debit card numbers were exposed, but there was some information exposed. And it sounds like that there are like different types of data was leaked for different groups of people, I guess. So they say for 5 million people, they got email addresses. For 2 million people, they got full names. And then they say for a more limited number of people, approximately 310, more information was leaked, which includes name, date of birth, and zip code.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow, because, you know, they probably have been picking up a fair number of new customers lately with that promotion they're running with Burger King.
Yeah. That's a good way to be a target, is to get a whole bunch more attention out of something like that. So,
yep.
Fabulous. Yeah, that's good to know. So, yeah, once again, and this... So to be clear, this was a breach in that somebody got talked into sharing. Like, social engineering is someone on the phone like pleaded their case enough that somebody on the other end of the phone went, okay, here's the password, basically.
Yeah.
That's social engineering. Like, I promise it's me, or I'm just trying to help my dad get set up or whatever it is, and trying to convince somebody to do the thing that they should not be doing. So this was not actually a data leak, which is the ones we normally see. And I think you can hear us shake our heads on the podcast when we point out, like, it was a database full of user information that just didn't have a password, you know? I feel like you can hear that even audio only. So this is a time where someone, like, on the phone did something that they shouldn't have done and gave somebody access to a thing they shouldn't have had. So just to be clear, it's not that Robinhood is fundamentally insecure, but maybe a bunch of call center people are due for some retraining soon, hopefully.
You know, fingers social crossed. Engineering can be a real pain in the butt.
Oh, yes. It can indeed. And while we are talking about user information and people having it who shouldn't have it, today in securing your stuff, hi, Nate, we have some information about the next wave of stolen iPhone countermeasures.
Yes. So this report comes from India Today. They are writing... there's been a lot of phone snatching going on in places like New Delhi. And they shared a story of a specific person. It's kind of a long story, but I can summarize because this is a pretty classic example of a phishing attack. So this person writes how his iPhone 12 was stolen and he put it into loss mode.
Okay.
So he put it into loss mode, he alerted the police and blocked his SIM card. And when you put your phone into lost mode using the Find My app, your phone will be locked, and then a confirmation email is sent to your Apple ID address. Mm-hmm. But then he goes on to, I think it looks like he was tweeting this. So he says after a couple days, he got a text message from some unknown number saying, use this verification code, blah, 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 for authentication. Your lost iPhone 12 has been found and temporarily switched on, and you can view the location by clicking on this link. Now, as the article points out, Apple will not text you. They will send an email about it to your Apple ID. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And so, you know, basically by clicking on the link, it asked him to sign in with his Apple ID and password.
To verify that you are who you say you are, of course. Yes.
Right, exactly. And then the thieves were very quickly able to disable Find My, and now they have
all his information. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So that's fun. well, because it gets a little sneakier every time, and this is part of why, as close as I think we probably have ever come, Andrew, to a slogan on Security Friday is like, be 10% skeptical of everything, even if you know, all incoming communication, even if you expect it. Like, if you expect it, you should only be 10% skeptical. The rest of the time, it should be higher. And things like this are why. Because if it is a big deal, you'll get an email that says, go log in to our site at this URL and, you know, not click on it, but like go to appleid.apple.com and log in there and do the things you need to do. Like, they will never say like, click this link in our email, you know, that's not a thing that happens. Part of the reason we repeat that stuff a lot on the show is so that you can just share an episode of the podcast and let us lecture your family members who don't believe any of this stuff for you. And then you can go do something else for 20 minutes and then, you know, let them listen to us go, no, this is bad and it's terrible. And if somebody's trying to scam you, it's safe to hang up and don't believe the email just because it's got the right name. And, you know, like, yeah. Yeah, we're here to do that for you. I promise it'll be fine. So we have one more tiny bit of news to get to. But before we do that, what I'd like to do is take a minute and talk to you about our sponsors this week. And our first sponsor is SimpliSafe. And if you've ever wanted to make your home feel safer, there is no better time than now. This week, speaking of security, our friends at SimpliSafe are giving TDO listeners 40% off their award-winning home security. SimpliSafe has everything you need to make your home secure. You can get indoor cameras and outdoor cameras. There's all kinds of sensors for doors and windows. You can get as many as you need. And all of it's monitored around the clock by trained professionals who send help the instant you need it. It only takes a few minutes. Just sit down at their website. I've done this. It really doesn't take long. Customize a system that will work for your house to protect your home and family. Take advantage of SimpliSafe's holiday sale and get 40% off your new home security system by visiting simplisafe.com/TDO. That's SimpliSafe.com/TDO. For 40% off your entire system. And you better hurry because this offer ends soon. Now, our second sponsor today is Hunter Douglas. And Hunter Douglas can help you live in comfort and style with innovative window shade designs and control systems that can be scheduled to automatically move to optimal positions for each portion of the day. Hunter Douglas shades can diffuse bright sunlight, allow you to enjoy the view outside the window, and protect your privacy inside the window, and even help keep the temperature inside warmer in winter and cooler in summer, which can lower utility bills. And if you add all of that to Hunter Douglas's PowerView technology, your shades can do all of this for you automatically throughout the day. Live beautifully with Hunter Douglas and enjoy greater convenience, style, and increased comfort in your home all day long. To do this, visit hunterdouglas.com/TDO today to take advantage of the Season of Style rebate savings event. That's hunterdouglas.com/TDO for limited time savings. And again, time limited. This offer expires December 6th, 2021. I'd like to thank Hunter Douglas for sponsoring the show. Now, Jeff, you're here to talk to us today about precise location. And I just remembered that we actually have another news story that we need to talk about. So, surprise, plot twist. Andrew, we have something about some interesting, a very specific target. So if you're visiting websites in Hong Kong,
Yes. Okay. So this story, just a quick update. This is Google's threat analysis group found this. They're calling it an implant, and it takes advantage of a zero-day vulnerability that was found in macOS Catalina. Security researcher Patrick Warder is calling this OS10.CDDS. Now, right off the bat, I'll say Google has already ported this to Apple, and Apple patched it back in September with the security update. So everyone is safe. But like you said, Kelly, the audience for this did sound specific. So Google says they discovered what they call these watering hole attacks, targeting visitors to Hong Kong websites for a media outlet and a prominent pro-democracy, labor, and political group. Now, it sounds like maybe it did like more than one thing, but it says one of the things that it did was put a backdoor into your system. And some of the things that this let them do is get like information about your device. They call that fingerprinting. It let them capture things on the screen, as well as upload your files or download other malicious files to your system, execute various terminal commands, record your audio, and record what you type. So it sounds like it was very serious based on those capabilities. And but thankfully, like I said, it's been patched.
Well, it's been patched if you're doing anything recently, right? Like, if you're running Catalina and haven't run an update, then you might be in trouble.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, thanks to Patrick Wardle, who does this kind of stuff all the time, and we're all better off for it. But yeah, this implant stuff is weird and very concerning, obviously. And it's definitely problematic, and part of that is just the amount of information that this can scrape off your machine is pretty pretty surprising. So I'm pretty sure this is a story that's going to continue to evolve, so as we find out more about it, we will let you know about it here on Mac Observer and over at macobserver.com. Okay, so now, Jeff, for real, we're gonna talk for a minute about something that's new. I want to say it's new to iOS 14, and that is the precise location feature that you can enable or disable, depending, on your phone for various things.
Yeah, and what this does is it allows you to limit just how granular the location information is when it gets to your different apps, and you can change it on an app by app basis. If you have precise location turned on, I believe the accuracy for your GPS location will be within about between, I want to say between 3 meters and 200 feet.
Okay.
If you have it turned off, then it's only going to give your apps a general idea of where you are, like what city you're in or closest to. It's going to be precise down to maybe a mile or 2 miles instead of 200 feet.
Okay.
So
you can tell I'm in Northwest Portland or Southwest Portland, but not necessarily like, hey, there's Kelly's house.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, this is important to know about, because if you accidentally turn it off, then a lot of your home kit automations are going to quit working right. For example, I have, and this isn't HomeKit, but you know, if the app for my air freshener, if I turn off precise location, then that thing was going to turn off. It's not going to turn off until I'm at least a mile from home. Mm-hmm. And it's going to turn back on anytime I'm within a mile or 2 miles from my house.
Yeah.
Which is not what I want. You know, I want to save that expensive fragrance for when I'm actually going to be at home.
When you mean it. Yeah. Like if you're actually right here. Yeah. HomeKit's an important one. Because HomeKit, a lot of things that you do with HomeKit are things that are, and I know this will surprise people, things that are in your house. So maybe you don't want the lights to come on if you are at the corner store, right? Or you don't want the garage door to open automatically when you are in the neighborhood. Like, you want it to be in your driveway.
Right. You don't want your garage door opening up when you're still a mile from home. That's
right.
That's not a secure thing to do.
I'm here to tell you it is suboptimal at best. Please don't ask me how I know. But another thing that makes this useful, the precise location information. First of all, whether you're giving an app precise location or not, you will get the occasional notification this app has used. If you say always allow, whether you're allowing precise location or not, you will get an occasional notification like, hey, this app has been using your location in the background. Do you want to keep doing that? So just as a reminder, that's a thing that sometimes will pop up. But also a nice thing about this is that when you do this, you can have weather notifications. And this is going to be good news to a lot of people, I think, that you can turn these on, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially, you know, now that we're getting into winter, which in some parts of the country, that means heavy, heavy rains. For others, that means heavy snow. So within iOS, the built-in weather app can actually give you a notification when rain or snow is about to start or stop. Mm-hmm. And I go through how to turn that on, in an article that I published today.
Excellent.
And it's all thanks to Apple buying Dark Sky a while back.
Yeah.
You know, Dark Sky has always provided what's called hyperlocal weather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because of that, all of the people around you that run their own little amateur weather stations feed data into the Dark Sky servers. And now Apple's weather app can read that data. And when rain is heading your way or snow is heading your way, you can get a notification.
That's fantastic. I'm always glad about that. Yeah. Now, I will say, I don't have these on because I live in Portland. And so always knowing it's about to rain, like I would have no battery life left on my phone because it would always just be telling me it's about to rain. It's going to stop. It's about to rain. It's going to stop. It's about to rain. Especially because right now we're under flood watch. So actually maybe I'd get a break because it's just been raining for like three solid days. So maybe it wouldn't alert me at all.
I'd be quiet.
Snow, at least, for me anyway, is a very useful notification. That's probably Andrew's rain notification. Like, it snows here all the time. I just don't care. You know, but particularly like if you have to drive a lot of places or things like that, it's definitely useful to have that kind of thing available to you easily. And
unfortunately, you can't pick one or the other. If you turn it on, it's for both rain and snow. There's no.
Well, this is 1.0 of these notifications. So maybe 2.0 will let me part out. I only want the snow ones because I need to know. As a Portlander, apparently I'm supposed to panic if it starts snowing and, you know, run around in a circle and yell, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, you mean like most of the southern United States do?
Yes. If you look closely, you will notice that whenever they show like, here's ridiculous people driving in a quarter inch of snow, like it's always Portland. I'm so embarrassed. I wasn't born and raised here, so I don't have that gene in me. So it's a different thing. But we will get back to traffic and weather shortly. Thanks for that. But well, traffic is another one where precise location is pretty helpful, because, you know, the road you're going to be on, it'd be really nice if you could, you know, actually tell what the traffic's going to look like.
Maps where you are, and
yeah, maps is going to be one that's going to need precise location if you're using it. So that's going to do it for us today. Thank you both for being here. Andrew, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And as always, have a good weekend, everyone.
Indeed. Jeff, thanks so much for being here for Security Friday.
Thank you. I hope I can sleep tonight after hearing all of this.
Well, we can offer some remedies for that off the air. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.